This podcast is part of the Podcavern Network. Check out other Podcavern shows at podcavern.com. Oneiric. Year 3 and 2 months. Hello, Deirdre. Today I'll mostly be telling you about dreams. In the waking world, I left a few weeks ago to walk to Eiche, the bigger town in this neck of the woods. I'm still in Schritt 4, aren't I? Trying to repair the hatch near Lana's, the one guarded by that cyborg bear named Mir. Trying to get off Schritt 4, actually. Vol's doing what he can, back at the hatch, but he'll need a couple of parts to nail it down. Lana and I are trying to find these parts. They have names and numbers and things, and I'll have to infuse them before they can work. That's quite exciting. It's that whole hatches need a little bit of soul concept, which I studied for years in the dreaming, with Vol himself, in fact, but have never got around to try to accomplish before. We'll see if I can do it. So, that's what's happening in what I believe to be the waking world. The one you inhabit, Deirdre. There's no cogent way to say this. Right. The way things stand just now, Dee, I'm not absolutely 100% certain that I'm really recording this. Or if I am, that I'll be able to send it to you. It's all about levels of the dreaming and levels of the worlds, you see. I'll try to tell it to you as it happened, insofar as I can unravel it myself. No promises. I can't tell a story like that without music. Augenblick bitte. Okay. A setting of the Magnificat by Buxtehude. Pretty apt, I think. So, in some form of the dreaming, I finally made it back to St. Gemma's, and to Danica. I'm not going to harp on it, Dee, although I'm thinking this bad blood between you two is probably just in my head by now. I mean, it's been years and years. But I was very happy to be back. Danica, bless her, seemed pleased enough about it, too. It was winter at St. Gemma's. I don't know how it aligns with the timeline on Schritt 4, but winter. Bluish snow crunching underfoot, whistling trees in the cold wind. They whistled in a minor third, which was eerie. Good excuse for Glühwein by the fireplace. God, you remember Herr Gustavo's Glühwein, Dee? Danica's wasn't quite as amazing as that, though I wouldn't say it to her face. But it was pretty good. The company made up for it. The first few days were just walks in the snow. A few errands, a few repairs around the school. Meals with the pupils and the staff. Meals en tête-à-tête with Danica. And nights. The Lord be thanked. Nights. When it comes to Danica, my life is one giant paradox, Dee. On the one hand, the reason I met her is that I decided to enter apprenticeship under Herr Gustavo. On the other, that very decision sent both of us on the big long road, each on our own, and at an interval of 4 years, which is nothing, considering what we've both been through since and the years spent in the dreaming. But it seemed an awful lot at the time. I've never, to this day, quite reconciled my gratitude to the Lord for putting Danica on my path, and my resentment of the Lord for making my life with her so splintered. I told her that during one of our walks, and she just laughed. About a week into my stay at St. Gemma's, as we played chess in the parlor, was it chess? Couldn't have been. I fucking despise that game. Danica said, almost airily, "You met Lana, didn't you?"
"Yes,"
I said, nearly dropping my cards. We were in fact playing the fox in the forest, now I remember. "She's with me now, in fact, in the waking world."
"Is she really?"
said Danica. I thought she sounded blithe, but I see now she must have been working very hard not to shake.
"Yes, she's guiding me. We're on an errand for Hatch's parts. It's for a giant bear who
never mind, not important." I picked up my cards. "Friend of yours, is she?"
"Oh, Vance," Danica said, not unkindly. "You really are a massive idiot, but I do love you."
I thought, I'll take it, D, for my sins. And then the penny dropped. I gasped and gaped like a fish on the bottom of a boat.
"Did you not notice she's the spitting image of you?" Danica said.
"She looks exactly like you," I said, thunderstruck.
How had I not seen that?
I thought her smile looked familiar.
"Well," said Danica, "she looks like both of us, I suppose."
We finished the game. Danica always wins when we play the fox in the forest, but the result was particularly lopsided this time round. I was nearly in tears.
"This is good news, Vance," said Danica, taking my hand in hers.
"I should have married you, Danica," I said, and winced, always thinking of myself first when I'm capable of thinking at all.
"We are married, love," she said, real matter-of-fact-like.
I kissed her. She was right. I could feel it. Danica is my wife, Dee, and has been for a long time. I just don't remember it yet.
"But she's in her 20s, I said. "So much time wasted."
"We raised her together, Vance," she said. This time I did reply before I could stop myself.
"I don't remember that."
"You'll remember it later," she said. "There's time. You're a good enough dad, you know."
That put me in mind of my own father, of course. He was a good man, my dad was. You remember, Dee?
A character, but a good one. The last 2 years before he went, he was diminished, of course. Almost transparent, really. And he was so scared of dying. Did I ever tell you that? Absolutely terrified until the very last moment, which, when it came, surprised the hell out of all of us in the room. He died, more or less in my arms, you know. Frightened to death until about 3 seconds before death, when he realized he could do nothing against it. And just after he was gone, he seemed to become younger.
But he was a good dad.
He was a much better dad than I was a son. Now I get to try to be a better dad than I was a son. I haven't thought about my father in years, Deirdre. That's part of what makes me a bad son. I'm a pretty cold fish, and that's the truth. I don't have much control over it, and that's no lie either, but I do have some. So some of it's on me. This morning, it's about 11 at night as I record this, I woke up from my weeks with Danica at St. Gemma's. I was sad, of course. I miss her, and I'm always a bit put out when a long jaunt in the dreaming won't let me say goodbye properly. But the parts we need for Mir's hatch won't deliver themselves. So there I was, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, ready to get cracking. Lana and I had set up camp under a big oak tree on the trail to Eiche. It's mountain paths, mainly, but fairly smooth and comfortable. I let her have the roll tent and kipped under the stars near our little fire.
I cooked up a couple of scrambled eggs with pine nuts. Did you ever have that? Brewed a pot of coffee and called out, Lana, time to get up. There was a rustling in the tent. The head panel went zzz as it opened. And then, a child crawled out. A little girl. Cute and everything, with a heart-melting smile. But a child whom I'd never seen before. I was pretty surprised, don't get me wrong, but years and years in the dreaming, however subjective, sort of change your brain to make it remarkably able to cope with what you would call a fairly plastic reality. I stared at the child. She was adorable. Hey, I said gently, trying not to spook her. Where'd you come from? You alone in there? She rolled her eyes and grinned with an expression that I took to mean, oh, you always think you're so funny. I've been here the whole time, of course. That smells good. Her grin widened, and suddenly it was obvious who she was. Have some, I said, scooping out half the eggs onto a plate and handing it over. Yeah, that familiar smile was all Danica's, no question. I guess the nose is mine. Where's your mother? I asked. There was a bit of longing in my voice, perhaps, but nothing to embarrass her. I mean, she's not a teenager yet. You know she's working back at the school, she answered as she gobbled up the food. Are you all right? We got to Aisha around dinner time. I had a good time getting there, too. She's a delight. I decided to splurge. We took a little two-room suite at the cheapest hotel we could find. We'll get the parts tomorrow, though of course now I don't know if we'll be able to bring whatever we get back to Val. The kid is asleep in the next room. And now I don't know if I'm Zhuang Zi or the butterfly. It's like that Santa Yana sonnet, isn't it? How's that one go? I have two no, that's wrong. Of my two lives, which should I call the dream? Yes. How deep in the dreaming am I, D? I haven't a clue, if I'm being honest. I can no longer tell. I'm not sure I care. But this is going to drive Val nuts. I get the feeling he hates getting lost in the dreaming. Which is funny, because I'm applying the lessons Val taught me when I say that all I know is that I'm on a level where a 6-year-old girl expects me to take care of her. And there's nothing on God's green earth that'll prevent me from doing that. Also, I'm a married man, D. For all that the memories of that life still lay ahead of me. A married man and a father, and still on the big long road. Busy, busy, busy. I need my sleep, I think. So, this is your cousin Vance, signing off. Much love to you and yours. From me and mine.
Notes to Oneiric, Year 3 and 2 Months, by Tevor Troy, Doctoral Candidate, Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, February 9th, 684. UDMID TT 603-782. This episode is the one that divides scholars. Vance suddenly makes explicit the nature of the dreaming by calling it levels of the world, and suddenly interpretations differ wildly. Bouchard, in his controversial essay Levels of Insanity, states that Vance has gone completely delusional, and that he probably spends the rest of the narrative in a hallucinatory state in some sanatorium or other. On the other side of the divide, McCormick has published an extremely elaborate chart where she purports to show on which level of reality any given moment in the story takes place. My own opinion on this issue is encapsulated in one short sentence uttered by Vance near the end of today's episode. I'm not sure I care. Oneiric is also a story about chaos. Jiangsu and the Butterfly and George Santayana's Sonnet 5 are two well-known texts that famously discuss the nature of reality and dreams. I'll put links to both in the show notes.
Hello, folks. I'm Katie.
I'm Vinny.
And we host the Learn Real Good podcast.
It's a comedy podcast about science.
It's also a science podcast with comedy.
Each episode, we interview a science grad student about their research.
And we keep it casual, so you don't need to be a nerd to follow along.
We also share some of the latest science newts.
I think you mean the latest science news?
Well, people need to hear more about amphibians.
Well, I agree with that. So look us up on your favorite podcast source and
learn real good. Presented by the Podcavern Newtwork.
Close enough.